Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 82 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. You know, I'm often asked who I believe will be the next generation superstar on the men's and women's tours. Now, I've discussed this topic in previous podcasts. The fact is, it's a tough call on both tours, more so on the women's than men's. On the women's tour, as I've talked about in many previous podcasts, it's wide open and unpredictable. At this point, it's really anyone's guess as to which of the young women can or will emerge as that next superstar, a player who can consistently be in serious contention week in and week out, and of course, win the big tournaments. Over the past couple of years, we have not really seen any of the young up-and-comers on the women's tour step up and establish themselves as potential top five or even top 10 mainstays. The general pattern has essentially been win a big tournament, then go into an extended funk afterwards. Now, there are a lot of talented young players on the WTA under the age of 25, including Muguruza, Svitolina, Keys, Ostapenko, Puig, Osaka, Konya, Kazatkina, Bellis, to name a few. There just has not been the consistency of performance by any of these players, or in some cases, just enough body of work. Monica Puig, for example, won the gold medal in Rio last summer, taking down several top players impressively. I mean, Kvitova, Muguruza, and Kerber along the way. But Puig has not been able to find that same form since then. 18-year-old Cece Bellis may be one to watch over the next couple of years. Bellis has been impressive in her first full season as a professional and has now climbed to number 43 in the world. But it's very early. She still has a lot of experience to gain and really a long way to go. And yes, 20-year-old Ostapenko and 23-year-old Muguruza are major champs. Ostapenko won her first major and career title at the French Open this year, and Muguruza won her second Grand Slam singles title at Wimbledon just a couple of weeks ago. Regarding Muguruza, it was great to see her win at Wimbledon and capture her second Grand Slam singles title. As I talked about in podcast episode number 80, after winning the French Open last year, her form fell off quite a bit. In fact, since last year's French Open, she had not reached the final of any tournament until Wimbledon this year. Hopefully it will be different this time around and we won't see a repeat of that post-major win drop-off from Muguruza this time. Regarding Ostapenko, from what I've seen so far, she certainly has the physical game and more importantly appears to have the drive, fire, and determination to someday be that champion week in and week out. Right now, it's simply too early to make that call on Ostapenko because, well, it's only been a few short weeks since she won the French Open. You know, we have to wait and see how she adjusts to the bigger and brighter spotlight both on and off the court. The fact is, the opportunity on the women's tour is ripe for the taking. It's right there for someone to firmly claim her stake and emerge as a champion caliber player for many, many years to come. We just have to wait and see. On the men's tour, there are several next-gen players under the age of 25 who have made some inroads and have been talked about for the past couple of years. The problem is none of the next-gen guys have yet to break through and win a Grand Slam. Up to this point, it's still a wait and see as to which next-gen player or players will emerge as legitimate heirs to the Big Three when the Big Three are no longer on top. And yes, Sasha Zverev and Dominic Thiem have both cracked the top 10. However, from top 10 to top 5 requires a huge jump, and even more so to top 2 or 3. Now, Zverev is a physical specimen. I've talked about this before, at 6'6", his length, along with his ability to punish the ball from any part of the court, makes him a dangerous opponent to face on any surface. You know, he cracked the top 10 earlier this year and he's currently ranked number 11 in the world. And he's only 21 years old. But for the past couple of years now, a lot of tennis people have talked about how he needs to improve his footwork, his transition game from baseline to net, and of course his net game, if he is to reach that elite level. From what I've seen of his matches over the past 12 to 18 months, he has gotten physically stronger as he continues to fill out his 6'6" frame. But his footwork, transition game, and net game are still areas that players can exploit. Now, a recent example was in the final versus Federer on grass at the Jerry Weber Open. Federer had no problem exploiting those vulnerabilities in Zverev's game and wrapped up the final in just 53 minutes. So there's still some work to do for Zverev. Thiem, in my view, reminds me of a right-handed version of a young Rafa Nadal. He plays a similar and very physical brand of tennis from well behind the baseline. Now, that's fine on clay, but if Thiem ever hopes to make serious inroads on grass and hard courts, he's going to need to learn how to play from closer to the baseline, which is what Nadal had to learn to do. Thiem seemed like he was starting to do that last year before he got injured, but so far in 2017, he seems to have reverted to, you know, playing from way behind the baseline, content with wailing away at the ball and running everything down. And that's fine when you're 23 or 24 years old, but all that mileage will catch up with him at some point in the future. Now, Nick Kyrgios is perhaps the one next-gen player who I believe has a fairly complete game at this point. Offense, defense, power, finesse, angles, spin, and so on. His challenge just seems to be one of motivation or indifference as it pertains to getting to the top. That said, his physical talent alone is so good, it may just carry him right into the top 10. Not sure about the top 5 if the desire's not there. Kyrgios is currently ranked number 21 in the world. Jack Sock, who will turn 25 years old in September, certainly has a big enough game to beat just about anyone. But similar to other next-gen players, Sock is still in search of his singles breakthrough at the majors. Sock has never advanced beyond the fourth round of a Grand Slam. Borna Koric has the desire and talent. In addition, he is a very intelligent player. I just don't know if he has sufficient firepower in his game at this point to keep up with some of the big hitters of today. You know, I had a similar concern 2 or 3 years ago regarding Grigor Dimitrov, who, by the way, is now 26 years old and no longer what I would consider as a, quote, next-gen player. I mean, Dimitrov has since filled out his 6'3" frame and certainly has enough firepower today. But that wasn't necessarily the case a couple of years ago. World number 32, Karen Khachanov, at 21 years old, may be another player to keep an eye on. At 6'6", his game is all about power, pace, and penetration. But relying solely on that particular style is not likely going to enable him to become a top 5 player at some point, in my view. I mean, you've got to have more to your game than just pure power in the men's game. Pace of shot alone does not intimidate the top players. So there are certainly a handful of very promising next-gen players on the men's tour, a couple of players who are perhaps on the cusp of breaking through and winning a major. However, they've got to break through, right? Perhaps at the U.S. Open in a few weeks? You know, I don't know. Until then, it's still about the big names with whom we have been familiar for the past decade or so. Federer, Nadal, Murray, and Djokovic. Even though Djokovic will shut it down for the rest of 2017 to allow his injured arm to recover. The way Federer and Nadal have been playing this year, they certainly do not appear ready to relinquish their seats atop the rankings anytime soon. So it may be another year or so before any of the next-gen players captures a major. Stay tuned. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.